Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to KSDAD Radio, Friday the 13th Slasher Horror Extravaganza. And now, let's go to our host. Take it away, guys.
Welcome to part two of our Jason Lives Friday the 13th double feature. With me for the second half is Christoph. Say hello, Christoph.
Hello, Christoph.
And now to open it, why did you pick Friday the 13th part five?
I have no rational reason for that. I just happen to be fond of this one. We've already done part eight, which is one of my favorites, and this time I was torn between part two and part five, and apparently the spirits willed that we do a pair of Jason Lives Friday the 13th films, so there you go.
Yeah. This one, well, part four came out in Paramount. It's like a weird love-hate relationship. They hated the series, but they loved the money that Friday the 13th came brought in. So basically, they had done part four, they killed off Jason, but they made sure to put a stinger in the end where, ooh, Tommy's going to be the killer. And
right.
For some reason, this carried on to part six, which we've done, and it's an earlier episode. And they still didn't do it. They might
well,
have done
the
it.
Tommy...
They could have done it in this one easy, but I don't know why they never really pulled the plug on this, really pulled the trigger and got it started.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to KSDAD Radio, Friday the 13th Slasher Horror Extravaganza. And now, let's go to our host. Take it away, guys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of our Jason Lives Friday the 13th double feature. With me for the second half is Christoph. Say hello, Christoph.
Hello, Christoph.
And now to open it, why did you pick Friday the 13th part five?
I have no rational reason for that. I just happen to be fond of this one. We've already done part eight, which is one of my favorites, and this time I was torn between part two and part five, and apparently the spirits willed that we do a pair of Jason Lives Friday the 13th films, so there you go.
Yeah. This one, well, part four came out in Paramount. It's like a weird love-hate relationship. They hated the series, but they loved the money that Friday the 13th came brought in. So basically, they had done part four, they killed off Jason, but they made sure to put a stinger in the end where, ooh, Tommy's going to be the killer. And
right.
For some reason, this carried on to part six, which we've done, and it's an earlier episode. And they still didn't do it. They could have done it in this one easy, but I don't know why they never really pulled the plug on this, really pulled the trigger and got it started.
I don't know. The Tommy trilogy is an odd thing because each of the three movies are very different from the last. And obviously, different filmmakers, different writers every time through. There's no consistency of style. There was not a consistent story arc. The only common thread was that Tommy was a character in each one of them, but even Tommy was a little bit different character in each one of them. And I don't know why they abandoned that either, because making Tommy the next Jason would have been perfect.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got it set up at 3 seconds at the Paramount logo. Get ready to push play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, push play. play.
There we go.
Okay, we had the familiar opening.
Right.
Damn it, we got
the
wrong movie in. I thought we were supposed to put five. Why have we got part six here? Oh. Could that be that part five and part six had the exact same beginning?
Could be. It's almost like they're two separate parallel sequels to the part four rather than sequels to each other. I actually like this one better than part six. I think part six is probably the weakest one in the series.
What?
I think part six is probably the weakest one in the series. I like this one better. Part six is my least favorite of all of them.
Yeah, it's the fun one.
They're all fun, but I think that one's, I mean, I don't know. It's okay. It was, yeah, they were going for the fun Friday thing. And it was such a watered down Jason.
Yeah.
Of course, at that point, you know, Paramount had completely put the chokehold on
right
the series.
Right here
in terms of having any cut.
Is Corey Feldman, who they're hoping to get back for this, but he was busy filming The Goonies. So they filmed this in his backyard over the weekend. Every scene with Corey Feldman is like in his backyard.
Huh. That's where Corey Feldman lived then.
Yeah.
He just went to his house, filmed a few shots, and called it good.
Yeah. Because they're hoping to bring him back for part six, too, but he was busy filming The Lost Boys.
Well, in both cases, it's hard to blame him for, you know, it's hard to blame him for doing the other film instead of the Friday the 13th one. Especially with The Lost Boys. Lost Boys is a great, great early Joel Schumacher. I used to love that movie. I'm also a bit of a Joel Schumacher fan, too, so.
And you got to admit, even as crazy as you've gotten, you got to be some kind of tough to be standing there with a water hose running over you for maybe like the 4 or 5 hours that they shot this movie. Well, the scenes with
it. Yeah.
Because if you
notice, he's not in any
of the scenes with the other three actors.
Well, I mean, all he had to do was film him running back and forth in the woods and look at the grave and then get a few shots of rain spraying on him. I mean, it couldn't have been that arduous a shoot.
Yeah.
And he got paid something for it, I'm sure. I don't know how much, but something. And again, I'm sure Goonies was a better paying gig than this would have been.
Yeah. And this is definitely the most violent of all of the Friday the 13th movies. This is the one with the most sex and violence.
Maybe that's why I like this one so much.
Yeah, it's amazing what they got away with.
We'll get to it later, but this movie has what I consider the best sex scene in the franchise.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was going to happen.
That's what I like about Jason. He gets buried, he's prepared, man. He's got like a machete, a spike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he really got buried with his weapons, like Bela Lugosi got buried with his cape.
Yeah.
And there's.
And here's a nice little bit of continuity that none of the fans really noticed until later on down the line, that whenever you see real Jason in this movie, spoilers, or Jason in the hallucination, he's wearing the red mask.
But when it's fake Jason, the mask is different.
No, fake Jason has the blue on his mask.
Right. Yeah, it's a nice little touch. So when they made part six, did they actually recycle some of this footage? Or do they... Had they shot enough footage, they could use some more footage that they didn't use for this one.
They just reshot this whole beginning.
Again?
Yeah.
So two different times, Corey Feldman had to hang out in the Woody Rainey backyard and do this crap.
Well, the second one, it was Tom Matthews as Tommy coming there.
Oh, here's our Tommy
for the movie, who is really a creepy-looking mother-father.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't look anything like Corey Feldman either.
No. Hey, look, already, not even 5 minutes in and we got boobies. God bless you, Danny Steinman.
Well, you know, his background, his little background having done porn served him well in this film.
Yeah, he only made like 2 straight films, but by God, they were 2 of the sleaziest damn films. They were so deep in the 80s sleaze, you wouldn't believe it. And that's this one and Savage Tree. Oh, see right there.
And of course, yeah, the mask.
The
and of course,
mask.
this is a controversy because they had promised part 4 was the end. Jason was dead. Even Tom Savini talked about how he was, you know, he thought Jason was dead when they made part 4. Everyone thought Jason was dead, but the money was good enough on that one. They were like, no, we're going to bring Jason back, or a Jason anyway.
I know. It was, like I said, Paramount had a love-hate relationship with the series. They were so embarrassed by this movie. But these films were the only films, really, that made any money for Jason. Paramount would have been dead in the 80s if it wasn't for the Friday the 13th franchise.
Well, they kept making it because they were not making it otherwise. They needed some source of income.
Yeah.
And this is before the series. I mean, this whole, not just the Jason there, the Tommy trilogy, this whole series is a little, has identity issues because the first 4 films are not supernatural horror at all. And this one isn't either, but after this, when they actually bring Jason back, suddenly it's a supernatural series. The Jason was not the undead in the first 4 films, but he was
Jason.
From part 6 on. Right.
Or we got our back stuck against the wall, so what the hell are we going to do? Oh, let's just bring him back as a zombie. Why the hell not? And there he is, Danny Steinman. God bless.
At this point, I think everyone was just happy to see Jason again. I mean, this is what the fans wanted.
Well, this what came out basically a year after 5. In the 80s, from 80 till about 88, they was pumping these out once a year like clockwork.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, after, I mean, 88 was the last
one.
It was the last year off
of
Paramount.
These were big renters on the VHS market, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I saw all these movies originally, was on VHS tape. I didn't see any of these in the theater until, gosh, it might have been part 9 the first time I saw one in the theater. It might have been the first new line when I actually
saw
it in
the
theater.
Beside the end of 5, which I have a good story and I'll tell you at the end of the movie when it comes up.
All right.
But
this
yeah,
is all, this is,
they hired him and fans were really in culture shock because he didn't look anything like Tommy. And if you remember the backlash from Halloween 3, 80s fans were assholes who didn't like any change at all.
No, not at all. Although I think Halloween 3 is the best film in that, where it's my favorite movie in that franchise. I'll put it that way, which makes me a heretic, but I'm used to that. This is also.
And
the,
here's our lead actress, and thank God she didn't like to wear a bra.
Well, she's, I don't know, she's an example of how 80s fashion was not good to women. Bad makeup, bad hair.
80s hairdo, too. She has the Linda Forsythe look.
Yeah. This is also the film where the Friday the 13th movie.
In the 80s, God.
Yeah. This is the one where the series really started taking a turn towards camp, too. Haha, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the series really started getting campy here, which is fine. I don't mind camp at all, but this is definitely where the series took on a huge tongue-in-cheek. I mean, there's a little bit of that with the teens in the 4th one, but that was still just teen characters being teen characters. This one is where they went silly in a lot of times, like with the crazy old lady's son that we'll meet here in a little while, the one on the bike.
Oh. Oh, I love that poster behind him. I want it.
What does it say?
Help
destroy a family
tradition.
Ah. Never noticed that before.
That is so beautiful.
Never noticed that before. I'm sure there was some completely legitimate point to that, but not having context with what the poster is about. And
holy shit.
You really have to...
I'm going to have to point that out to Doc. Did you know what that poster is below that? I just wanted to see. It's Godzilla versus the Thing.
Wow. Interesting poster. And there's a walrus. I don't know why that's there. It's an odd assortment of poachers. I wonder if they just grabbed what they had nearby and pinned it to the wall for set dressing, or if that was what was there when they... I don't know if this was a set or they just found a place to shoot. You know, these movies are done on the fly.
If that's just what the guy before that had on the wall, he's a cool motherfucker.
This movie was also... I do not remember the shooting title of this movie. You know, these movies were shot without union crew, and so they always had to shoot with a fake name, because if unions found out that a Friday the 13th movie was shooting in the area without union crew, the union people, the Teamsters, would go in and cause trouble. So this movie...
Well, they kept it in there. I think this one was called Heroes, because
they
pretty much named every one of them after a David Bowie song.
This one was something to do with, not Resurrection, but something like that, some kind of... It was a reference to the fact that it was Jason was back, but it wasn't Jason, as I recall. But I don't remember off the top of my head what it was.
Ashes?
No, I wonder if it was a one-word one. I could be wrong. I read the Crystal Lake Memories book, but it's been a few years.
Yeah. And what's funny is they talk about 8 years ago. Tommy should not be this old in just 8 years.
Well, it isn't like continuity has ever really been a mainstay of this series. I mean, if you add up all the, 5 years later and stuff from movie to movie, this series ended up being set in the future.
Yeah.
Continuity was not a strong suit of these films. But, I mean, nobody watched these movies for those kinds of details. They watched these movies for Jason and to see obnoxious teenagers.
Yeah, like I said, this is my cheeseburger franchise.
You know, when I was back in the 80s, when I was, you know, a kid gorging myself on horror films, I was not a huge Jason fan. I was more Michael Myers. Now, I'm not a Michael Myers fan much at all, but I love the Jason movies.
Well, even at their worst, there never is truly a horrible Friday the 13th movie. You never...
And of course you
Reggie the Reckless. I love him.
And here, of course, you have a rarity. You've got a black person that doesn't die in a horror film.
Yeah.
Reggie is an endangered species. There's not many of those. Not only is he not the first person to die, he makes it through the thing. A little reference to the fact that Tommy Jarvis is an amazing makeup artist. I was wondering where Tommy got all the supplies for making these damn masks. So that was my question. Like, where does he get all the stuff to do this?
Oh, back then, the Don Post catalog, you could order everything you needed out of it.
Well, so presumably Tommy used Don Post then.
Yeah, that was pretty much the only place that you could get foam latex and stuff like that through the mail.
Didn't they run ads in Fangoria magazine?
Yeah, they run ads in Famous Monsters, Fangoria. And here comes the unsung hero of this movie.
Are you you're referring to this movie's spoiler alert, Man Behind the Mask? No, that's
no.
Not here. That's later. Right. This is
yeah.
Well, then what are you referring to? Who's the unsung hero
God
here?
God damn it.
Okay, I thought you were referring to the cops. I was trying to think how the cops could in any form or fashion be considered unsung heroes in there.
No, Edna.
The police never, ever, ever come off well in these movies. Well, of course, the series originally started with the whole point was to isolate the kids from any kind of authority.
You remember
or...
what this actor's name is here, the beautiful redhead?
No.
Pamela Lee Voorhees.
That's right. She's
they didn't even know what she looked like. Danny Steinman just seen that name and he's like, fuck it, she's getting cast.
I ain't got to give him credit for that. I've done the same thing.
And there she
and you're afraid
is.
Of... Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
the
here's,
queen of
here's
obscenity
you
herself.
Seeing, here's where you start seeing the huge campy element.
Ethel. Shit.
You know, I don't know why, but you know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of that older, white trash version of the dark-haired lady in Three's Company. She always has.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
When I first watched it, she annoyed the shit out of me. But the older I get, the more she just cracked me up. Shut the fuck up.
I think her son, reminds her poor man.
They told to make sure to get an R rating for this, so he basically told her, he said, every time you're on screen, I want you to curse as much as you can.
Why, are they afraid that the MPAA would gut the violence to get their R set?
Yeah.
There's no way this movie wouldn't have gotten an R anyway. The MPAA despised Jason. They would never have let one of these slide with anything less than an R. Especially in this time period, because this is, if I remember right, this is before the PG-13 was in place, or at least that happened around this time.
Well, it was after this, but this was the last Friday the 13th movie to pretty much skate by unscathed.
Yeah. Part 6 was...
Six they got pretty mad, but they were prepared for it. And
well, yeah, the director, if I remember,
cuts,
I shot multiple versions of
seven,
the violent sequences in that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, John Carl Buechler got raped in Part 7. That poor guy, that poor director.
Yeah.
And still, the movie is a pretty good movie. I think Part 7 is one of the stronger films in the franchise. I like it.
Oh, it would have been
course,
better
I'm
if they got the meat in, but...
I love this whole series, so...
This is one of the few killings in slasher movies where I honestly don't blame the guy for what he does.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to sympathize with it because, like, you know, I might have done the same thing because.
Yeah, this guy is. There's only one person more annoying than him in slasher film history. And that would be Franklin from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you're running close to that annoying fucker, you're pretty much an annoying piece of shit.
You look kind of like Franklin too. I don't know. I want to say a friend of mine who used to be active in the convention circuit and has met a bunch of people. If I remember right, he said that the guy that played Franklin was actually kind of an annoying bastard, the actor.
Oh yeah, Gunnar Hansen is one of the sweetest, most kindest person in the world, and even he called the guy that played Franklin an annoying piece of shit.
Wow, so as nice as Leatherface is, for him to talk shit about you, at least this character has the excuse of being mentally challenged. Franklin did not have that excuse. Franklin
I know,
was just
but
a
still.
Asshole. Well, I'm just saying, that's the one edge he has. Although, I have to say, I almost find this character more annoying than Franklin. And frankly, at least, I wouldn't have felt guilty telling him to, you know, shut the fuck up, you obnoxious, self-absorbed piece of shit.
Yeah.
This guy
and honestly,
you're retarded.
They break one of the cardinal rules for me right now.
How?
You don't get a guy who's as tense as this fucker right here an axe. It won't
well, but,
end
you know,
up
no,
good.
Who else wants to choose? Who else is going to chop the wood, right, man? Give it to the muscle guy with anger. I mean, there's a lot of wood chopping energy there.
I don't
there.
Think he's chopping the wood. I think he's just murdering that piece of wood.
Maybe he's carving with broad strokes. He could be creating. He could be creating abstract art. It could be abstract art by a carving.
But still, I mean, he's not that bad. He's annoying as hell, but this may be one of the most brutal things in a slasher I've seen come up here. Just the way the sound on the hit.
Yeah. Of course, when you think about it, I mean, there are a lot more violent slasher films out there, but something about the tone of this one really makes it gruesome and brutal. Again, thank you, Danny Steinman. And that would have been my cue to piss off right there. He just cut your peace offering in half. You should leave him alone. Oh,
that music sting.
The music sting, and the Foley work there was really nice.
Yeah.
And that makes me think Leslie Nielsen's about to walk on
screen. In case you're wondering who the killer is, you might. Spoilers will come in about 30 or more seconds.
Well, the biggest spoiler is who the killer is, the expression on the guy's face. I mean, I remember a viewer who said the minute he saw the guy's expression, he knew he was the killer.
Yeah.
You have to admit they did a nice job of making a Jason movie and having an excuse for someone dressing up as Jason that wasn't Jason. I mean, you know, a guy loses his shit, decides to start killing people, and blame it on Jason because Jason's the local killer legend.
Well, no, it wasn't him trying to blame it on Jason. It's him trying to blame it on Tommy.
Oh, right, because everyone would have expected it was Tommy doing it now, correct? Right, right. Well, point being, you know, it was a convenient red herring for the real killer.
I mean, look at him right there.
This film. Bitchy greaser queens.
Yeah.
It is odd. I mean, it is odd that they would think to, you know, I know, let's put a couple of greasers in here. Like, really? Well, 30 years late for that, aren't you? What is this, Grease 3, The Revenge?
Yeah. But still, that
Converse,
happens.
Converse, he's wearing Chuck Taylor's.
That's cruising, man.
Credit for that. He's wearing Chuck Taylor's. He gets credit for that. Chuck Taylor's are awesome.
I look at that hat and jacket, and I think of Al Pacino all of a sudden.
Cruising?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know why that's fun. It's a rabbit. It's
a
spring-loaded cat. It's a rabbit. Oh, I hate rabbits. Yeah, he is a little effete, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, but it's
I'm amazed they didn't cut this killing.
Why, because it's so gruesome? Part of there's
yeah,
not a lot of
I
blood
mean,
in it. It's not that bloody, though. So it probably didn't
hit
the mind as violent as, say, an axe to the head or something would have. It wasn't gory. These guys might be twins,
right there,
so gay. Right, I don't know.
Yeah.
You didn't notice that your friend is just totally face planted under the hood? Or are you too busy looking at his ass?
Your ass.
And here's where classic Michael Myers kill gets semi-ripped off. The killer's in the back seat.
I mean, look at him right now. He's blossoming on screen.
What I want to know is, if you think your friend's got his hands under the hood, why would you start? Why would you start the car? You don't know where his hands are. His finger, you could just cut your friend's fingers off. Idiot.
Yeah. And how do you like that really nasty, obvious sensor zoom?
Oh, yeah. I would love to see what they cut by zooming it that way. I don't know why.
Well, basically just showing a knife against his neck.
Which seems like a pointless censor to me, because it was not that bloody of a sequence. But it's what the mind sees, is the fact that this guy's got a machete to the throat. That's why that got edited where the road flare didn't, because it was the nature of the kill, the goriness of the kill.
Yeah. And plus the MPA is psychotic bitches who are very scary.
You know, and this was you know,
why
this was
would
the Jack
they let,
Valenti era here.
Yeah. Why would they let a patient in a mental hospital keep his own meds with him?
Because it's the '80s? Depending on the med, too.
I don't think even in the '80s they would be that permissive.
Well, it may depend on the meds. Yes, you're right. They generally dispense your meds to you in these situations. But
yeah.
Not all psych meds are narcotics either. Yeah, you're right, because you think of Nurse Ratched, you know, Nurse Ratched would be floating around here handing out the meds and making sure one of them. But that wouldn't have been as effective as God, would it? I mean, that's the thing. Movies take liberties with reality sometimes because they're showing something or expressing something. It's easier to go ahead and just, the pill's coming out there. There's a nice little emotional impact. There's a nice bit of expressing what's going on here, even if it does not fit with reality.
Yeah.
That's a loving granddad right there.
I could have done that.
They just needed a triangle out there to ring for all the cowboys to come in. And here's another guy. This guy's the haircut is inexplicably 50s. I mean, what the hell?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for
only
a gang from West Side Story to come dancing through.
Is New Wave Girl right there with the headphones on.
What about her? She looks like she should have been in Night of the Comet. I don't know why, but that's what she looks like to me. Y'all are handling the fact that somebody got brutally murdered there yesterday pretty well.
Jesus. No wonder this guy couldn't get laid.
Why? The haircut?
He's a doofus.
Oh, yeah, he's a doofus. Hey, some girls like doofuses. Apparently not these girls. Well, and he's also pathetic and desperate, and women can sniff that a mile away.
Yeah. Damn right.
Well, at least somebody's feeling mournful about it. Nobody else really seemed to give a shit. I get the suspicion that nobody really liked the kid anyway. Not that he wanted him to get axed to the back, but, you know.
Yes, we'll send the drug brain-fried psycho up there.
Right.
This is what I would happen if somebody be in my room fucking with my shit. This is totally understandable.
Yeah.
Though maybe a little
extreme. Yeah. Disrespectful, and this is the classic douchebag that's in every one of these kinds of movies. Then they're like, don't touch me. Do not.
You know what Tommy really should do? He should get a job in pro wrestling, damn it. That was a beautiful body slam.
Oh, yeah. And Tommy is already exhibiting more angst and surliness than Hayden Christensen in the entire prequel trilogy of Star Wars. He should have. There's your Anakin right there.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned for her mental health because she's having way too fun a conversation with her food.
Oh, that made me eat my breakfast. You big dildo.
Man.
Yeah, if I had a restaurant, I'd use that best goddamn stew in the world.
This is a dysfunctional family.
I think
here comes
you
a red herring.
Be inbred. I'm not saying.
Red herring. The only way they introduced the character, the mysterious stranger. Maybe he did it.
Jesus. And
because this is the only.
Don't you feel
only...
that all three of these guys need to shower?
A little. You know, something else this has in common with part one. Part one and five were the only whodunits in the series.
Yeah.
They're the only two whodunits in the entire franchise. But a lot of slasher films were whodunits back in the day. They weren't all, but they actually, the slasher series the slasher genre was predominantly whodunits until it got into the whole
iconic.
Like, I
wonder
iconic,
how long that motherfucker's been wearing that shirt.
I'm guessing it's probably melted into his skin by now. It requires surgery to remove.
Yeah. Oh, and look, more subtleness.
And they're making him way too obvious.
Yeah.
The killer is obvious
as a fart in the world.
Roy. That's
well,
great.
When
the
asked about it on the commentary,
Roy.
Steinman said, the director's a fucking idiot. That's why.
What, in regard to the making it too obvious?
Yeah.
So obvious. Which doesn't attract at all from the fun of this movie. This
yeah.
is still one of my favorites. See, here's some more pointless
oh,
characters.
Yeah.
This guy
Mike
and the
Camaro
woman in the waitress.
Primer gets all the ladies.
Gets this lady anyway. But considering she hops right into his primer-colored Camaro and, you know, willing to do cocaine off her tits and whatnot, I mean, she's not, obviously not a classy date. Neither is he. Still, I got to wonder how he landed her.
Goofy-looking guys like me hope that a dork.
I'm really concerned for her mental health because she's having way too fun a conversation with her food.
Oh, that made me eat my breakfast.
You
big dildo.
Man.
And if
this
I had a restaurant, I'd use that best goddamn stew in the world.
This is a dysfunctional family.
I think
here comes
you
a red
may be inbred. I'm not saying.
Red herring. The only way introduced character, the mysterious stranger. Maybe he did it.
Jesus. And
because this is the only.
Don't you feel
only...
that all three of these guys need to shower?
A little. You know, something else this has in common with part one. Part one and five were the only whodunits in the series.
Yeah.
They're the only two whodunits in the entire franchise. But a lot of slasher films were whodunits back in the day. They weren't all, but they actually, the slasher series, the slasher genre was predominantly whodunits until it got into the whole
like, I wonder
iconic,
how long that motherfucker's been wearing that shirt.
I'm guessing it's probably melted into his skin by now. It requires surgery to remove.
Yeah. Oh, and look, more subtleness.
And they're making him way too obvious.
Yeah.
The killer
obvious
is
a fart in the world,
Roy. That's
well,
great.
When
the
asked about it on the commentary,
Roy.
Steinman said, the director's a fucking idiot. That's why.
What, in regard to the making it too obvious?
Yeah.
So obvious. Which doesn't attract at all from the fun of this movie. This
yeah.
is still one of my favorites. See, here's some more pointless
oh,
characters.
Yeah.
This guy
Mike
and the
Camaro
woman in the waitress.
Mike Camaro gets all the ladies.
Gets this lady anyway. But considering she hops right into his primer-colored Camaro and, you know, willing to do cocaine off her tits and whatnot, I mean, she's not, obviously not a classy date. Neither is he. Still, I got to wonder how he landed her.
Goofy-looking guys like me hope that a dork like that can get a piece of ass that looks that decent. So, hey,
you know, it's
hope.
It's more, a lot of times it's more confidence. Some girls like dorks.
Cocaine,
but I was
gonna
say,
too.
Cocaine. She could do better. Well, yeah, he does have cocaine. She could do better than him. And I don't mean the looks thing because, I mean, I'm, you know, who am I to criticize someone for looks? But he's, you know, obviously he's not a high-class act. but like I said, neither is she.
Yay! Thank you, Danny! I mean, how shameful.
Who does that? Do women stand in front of the mirror and pop their boobs out and say it's showtime, and does this happen in the real world? If it does, I want to hang out with them in the bathroom while it's happening.
Yeah. That's one thing about the 80s. When they did their drugs back then, they had the big, really fancy kits.
Well, I mean, certain drugs kind of require you to have your kit, you know, cocaine. Well, cocaine, not necessarily, but you at least have to, it's helpful to have some kind of a toot and a flat surface, although flat surfaces can be anything, book, whatever. I mean, if you're a meth head, you know, you've got to have your pipe, unless you're a meth snorter, which still, some drugs require their kids, flat heads have to have their pipe.
All about cocaine. Not
I like how she spritzed her boobs.
This is the 80s, you'll find cocaine is involved.
Oh, yeah. I like how she had to spritz her boobs
especially
for a few, and like,
cup.
Guy's going to get... Right. And once again, 80s hair and makeup are not doing her any favors. And her roots are showing. Here, that lighting's bad. Oh, that's not the worst 80s hairdo I've ever seen. It's more the makeup than the hairdo.
The new wave girl comes in close.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. At least her outfit, the new wave girl, her outfit is supposed to be over the top. I mean, new wave kind of was definitely an over the top style. Spring loaded cat. And that cat clearly got thrown. That cat did not jump there. That cat was thrown. Was not happy about it. I'm out of here. Man, some 80s guitar.
Jesus,
this is how
God,
you treat
this
women.
Guy
you
needs to shave his arms.
He's to not honk his horn. That's not how you get a lady. Hey, hurry the hell up. How does this guy get women? He's got no cocaine, right?
Thank you. And there's another quick zoom close-up.
I get the feeling that one was more intentional, though, because that zoom didn't really hide anything. I mean, that zoom was more like, ooh, look, bulging eyes.
I think it's funny that the more gruesome kills in this movie, they show. But the more standard kills, we get ultra zoom.
Well, it was, again, it was those standard kills that...
Why the fuck are you wearing that dress then, bitch, if it's that cold?
Because she's trying to be sexy and, you know, people suffer for fashion. I mean, it's the same girl that sprayed perfume on her boobs as though the guy would care if her boobs smelled pretty or not once he got there. I don't think any male in the history of man has ever rejected a set of boobs because they didn't have perfume on them. Never happened. And this is not a clue that something is wrong. There's cocaine spilled on the floorboard. That is not a clue that something is amiss. I've never been a drug user that wouldn't be upset at wasted drugs. It's called drug abuse. Really?
I think cars are assholes in the slasher film universe. That was a real nasty kill they censored, because if you've seen Chris Lake Memories or any pictures... No, they actually show this.
Yeah, they show it. They get away with it because it's after the fact.
And they show it like
after the fact
just
is actually,
3 seconds.
Right, and after the fact is actually easier to pull off effects-wise than showing it going in.
Yeah.
See, with those chickens, the enemy is Edna. Oh, yeah. Now we're coming up on the best set of boobs in horror film history. Or at least slasher film history.
And unlike most fans when they complained back then, he wasn't that bad as Tommy.
No, he
it's
wasn't.
Just he had the hard job of trying to make Tommy sympathetic while trying to keep him.
Well, and he wasn't Corey Feldman, and that made a lot of fans mad.
Yeah, I mean, how hard of a balancing act does that have to be? You got to keep him as, is he or isn't he, while making him sympathetic, too.
Right. Well, they were trying to get you to wonder if he was Jason, but kind of hope that he wasn't, because, you know, you knew what Tommy be Jason. Or did you?
Yeah. And plus, he doesn't have any damn dialogue.
No. He's not a bad actor at
Why
all.
Why would a sheriff in a podunk town automatically think Jason Voorhees?
Because Jason Voorhees is the killer in the area. If I'm not mistaken, the kid that played Tommy in this went on to be like a super fundy Christian.
Yeah. Well, you can tell he looks like a Mormon already. Here's a bit of continuity they didn't bother. He just said Jason was cremated. He's just a bunch of ash.
Right. Major continuity error. Jason was buried. But again, these were cranked out films. They weren't worried about continuity. They were just worried about making each movie.
This is Pamela Lee Voorhees. Good. God bless her.
Yeah, you got to be glad Danny Steinman cast her. Although, even if you hadn't cast her for a name, you probably would have cast her for boobs.
Yeah. It's a shame he only did two films, but they were two of the sleaziest and nastiest of the 80s. The other one he did was Savage Streets, which may be the sleaziest Death Wish ripoff, with Linda Blair as a woman who gets pissed off when they nearly rape her sister, played by Linnea Quigley, to death. And yes, there's full frontal Linnea in it.
Well, you almost expect
and
that when you have to
involved. And toss her pregnant friend off a bridge.
Oh, nice. Usually if Linnea was in the movie, she was the central screen queen of it. Was that early in her career?
Yeah, it was early for her. It was before Return of the Living Dead made her into a star.
Right. And then she went on to do stuff like Night of the Demons, et cetera, et cetera. Here we go. Boobs in slasher history, best sex scene in slasher history. This is just all the way around. Thank you, Danny Steinman. Thank you for bringing your porn aesthetic to this.
Slasher history? One of the nastiest kills in slasher history?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a story that when Danny Steinman was shooting
the... Who loves a joint that perfect?
There are people who can do that. I've seen some pretty nice people joints done. Now, I've read that during the filming of this sex scene, Danny Steinman started screaming, fuck her harder, or something to that effect. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny Steinman, you did me and everyone a favor with this.
There's footage out there of them actually fucking.
Oh, he went the Joe Sarno route of having his performers actually do the deed.
Well, he actually just
said
they're fucking in Paramount. Like, we can't put this in the movie. We're not making a fucking porno. Well, why the fuck not?
Yeah, that would limit the audience just a bit.
You see how quick they cut from it?
Yeah.
And look at the smile on his face. You know he had a good time.
See the smile on my face. And I'm not trying to think about size, but those are nice. It's not the size thing. It's just the shape.
It's the most
everything.
Perfect.
It's great. It's like the guy from the Friday the 13th reboot said to the girl he was screwing, you have perfect nipple placement or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole...
This is
a
nasty
whole,
one, too.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those, like, why would you kill that?
Quota.
Now we're both just silent and waiting for it. Stonk.
Just
and cut. I saw a ring on the finger there. I wonder if they show the ring on Roy's finger in other scenes. That would make it a hell of a giveaway.
Yeah. I thought he had to wash, and he just walked down to the lake and...
dunked his hair, apparently. Well, maybe he just washed his junk off, pulled his pants back up. Who knows? I don't know. He's about to be sad because he's not getting any more of that anytime soon. Well, I mean, not unless he's in necrophilia.
What's funny, this is one of the first scenes where they cut out the sound effects.
Nice ass, too.
Yeah, when they did that bolt thing, in his uncut version, you hear a crunch.
Well, I mean, Foley working with some of the most effective aspects of stuff like this.
Yeah. Oof. And this is the one where they didn't censor anything you see on the screen. But if you notice, the kill's pretty much damn near dead silent.
Again, here, well, they got, there's some Foley work here. That's an unusual kill and also surprisingly effective. And the bird's like, I'm with the cat, I'm leaving. This kid is also almost a segue to having more kids in the Friday the 13th series, which happened in the next one where it was a camp for little kids, not teenagers.
Yeah, well, it started with Corey Feldman in 4.
Right. Well, they went dark with Feldman. They did not go dark with Reggie.
Yeah. This is the world famous... We all got to split up now, part of the movie.
Oh, well, that always has to happen. Even the Scooby Gang split up sometimes.
Yeah. Let's stay together. No, let's split up. We'll cover more ground. That makes sense.
I'll be right back.
Isn't it me, or did she always give out creepy pedophile tones towards Tommy?
Her?
Yeah.
I never thought about it. She always just struck me as the mother hen type. She's not that attractive anyway, so. Unless it was a teenage boy being hit on by an older woman would have been compelled to.
He just body slammed the guy and beat the living fuck out of him. And they're like,
right.
Let's take him on a trip. It'll be all right.
Yeah, this is a very careless halfway house.
Yeah, I mean, letting the kids just run off and screw whenever they want.
Yeah, the security is a bit questionable, especially since this is, I'm assuming, a halfway house for kids with some kind of psychosis or criminally insane, whatever. You know, this is, they've got, you know, that, they're mixing up mild cases with severe cases. No matter what, they're not doing their job well.
Yeah. Where's the trailer park, man? Oh, there it is. And speaking of Return of the Living Dead, here comes a veteran from Return of the Living Dead.
You talking about Reggie's brother?
Yeah, Miguel Nunez.
And those two movies came out about the same time, as I recall, both 85, weren't they?
Yeah, 85, Return of the Living Dead was 86.
Okay.
I mean, just look at the hairstyle. You can tell that he went from one to another.
Yeah, that was a back-to-back thing, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, act like a little pimp.
Reggie, you have bad taste in women.
Yeah.
Good grief.
And I will got to say, he really holds himself good in these fights. What? They shouldn't have hired this man for horror films. They should put him in action films.
I'm pretty sure Tommy was put through some grief in wherever institution he was in before this. Probably learned to fight.
Yeah. Well, if you deal with Jason, you're going to learn how to fight.
Right. Well, he already knew. Well, that's true. Yeah. Never in my life seen a trailer park that had a neon sign advertising the fact.
Yeah, a generic trailer park.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everyone's trying to find it. They got to make sure they know how. Apparently, this is a well sought after trailer park. You're that Norman Bates runs
the
place.
Hey, we're going to the trailer park. Which one? You know, the trailer park. Oh, Lord. There's only one thing I'm jealous about him. This motherfucker's got an Indian.
Tell you, it's a poor man's Randy Quaid. We already know that we've already learned that Tommy has does not react well to being touched.
Yeah. I mean, really, look at him.
Nice.
He can do stunt choreography pretty goddamn good. Don't you think?
Oh, I agree. He'd have been a good action star.
Yeah, if I was to make movies and they'd be like, God damn, give me this guy. We're going to put him in a damn Kung
yeah.
Fu movie. Shit.
He'd be the guy you get if you couldn't afford Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Don't diss Roadhouse.
Oh, no, I like Roadhouse. That's what I'm saying. You get him if you couldn't get Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And for some reason, this movie was the first Friday the 13th not to top the other's box office.
No, I mean, everything has to peak and then go back down. Everything has peaks and nadirs.
I mean, I appreciate them for trying this, but they should have known better after seeing the whole mess that happened with Halloween 3. We'll be enchiladas.
At least this one was still in the same vein as the previous film.
Yeah.
And the same continuity, the Halloween 3. Well, Halloween 3, I think I can't remember if Halloween 3 mentioned Haddonfield or not. I want to say there was some scene where, like, on the radio or something, but
yeah,
it was entirely different kind of story. And really, it shouldn't have been called Halloween 3. It should have been its own film.
Yeah, this is the nastiest-ass toilet I've ever seen.
Agreed.
I agree with it.
I think one reason this one didn't do as well, Part 4 was touted as the final Friday, so everyone went in droves to see it. And they
yeah.
came out with this one, and everyone was like, oh, okay. And my cousin Joe Carroll used to love these movies. It terrified her.
Get it, bitch.
What is wrong with these people? I don't like being messed with them on the toilet. I'd be mad at her. I'm like, really? I don't want to talk to someone on the toilet. I want to be left alone.
Yeah, that's what I want
to
do.
Go to the bathroom in solitary.
The
Besides, I'm probably reading if I'm on the toilet.
I
don't want to be bothered while I'm reading either.
They just go on baby, baby. They cut out the ooze. And they don't even show her get killed. She just vanishes.
Well, that's how irrelevant she is.
Wipe your ass, motherfucker. Goddamn.
Maybe he was really constipated shit and didn't leave much residue. That was her right there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They do show her then. They indicate that she was offed.
Yeah, she had a slit throat. Oh, goddamn.
Now, is this fear of Jason, or is he still really, really torn up? Well, yeah, he wasn't constipated. That's right. He just had the shits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still suffering from, well, not anymore. How come there isn't poo dripping out of his gut hole now.
I don't know. How come that spike has not got blood or guts on it?
That's called being proactive, and this is probably legit,
is that most of the kills in this movie are really random as fuck.
They are.
This may be the most random slasher I've ever seen.
See, this guy can do something about it. He can't do anything about his stutter, but he can do something with that damn.
Yeah.
Or he might have been, right, who knows.
Part six, the director shot three versions of each kill scene. The TV version, MPAA version, and over-the-top gore version.
And presumably the over-the-top gore versions are lost?
Well, no, some of them made it. And some of them didn't. He knew which ones he wanted, so he filmed the ones that he didn't want with the over-the-top gore.
So they cut them, and then
so
the ones
MPAA
he wanted to
would
kept.
Go after the shit that he wanted to not wanted to leave in.
Right.
An American Tragedy.
Yeah, I've read this novel.
I don't know if that's supposed
the
to be
movie,
some kind of pun. Yeah,
the
if
movie
I'm
was
gonna
called,
make out with a girl, I'm gonna watch a movie about this guy who murders a pregnant woman.
Right.
From getting married to a rich girl.
The name of that movie was A Place in the Sun, right? They didn't keep the same name as Dreiser's book.
Yeah, American Tragedy's book is from A Place in the Sun.
Yeah, I read that book a couple times, actually. I read that tome twice. Dreiser's a dry writer, but it's still an interesting story.
Yeah.
It's a bit moralistic.
I love it. Who hasn't been yet there as a male? You're pouring out your heart, and the girl's just like.
Right. The question is, do you really want her, or is she just convenient? Really? You jumped at
the
film?
See, that was your moment.
Why? I'm kind of lost for why the filmmakers chose this to be the movie they're watching. I don't get it. If there's an in-joke there, I'm missing it. It just seems an odd choice.
I don't
either. Maybe that's what was on TV.
Probably because what they
maybe that's what was
right.
on TV.
Oh. Did you just see that? His heart just got ripped out of his chest and dumped on the floor.
No, the MPAA didn't censor that one, did they? You have no game, dude.
I'm sorry.
Wow, what a bitch.
No.
She's graceless.
There's no way not to laugh at that. Even if my boy was standing next to me, I would just have to laugh because that was...
I mean, you got to feel bad about him, but God, that was a bad reaction.
I know, but...
no grace whatsoever. That's okay. He shouldn't be that attracted to such a callous bitch anyway.
Dead. No handball playing in the hallway.
He's not really after her. He's just after some girl. He's not after the right girl. He's after just whoever.
Yeah, he's just after pussy, period.
Right. And that music is so contrary to her outfit. I don't know why he would talk to her anyway. She's obviously a hard case. He's obviously not her type.
No, I would appreciate that shit. Someone that's so into their music? Hey.
Well, yeah, but she's so into her music, she's so not into him. Jason, or Roy, sorry, Roy likes his meat cleaver. Last three people have been killed with the meat cleaver.
Oh, see, right there is why they showed it. Right there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a bazillion Paramount movies they could have picked. Why that one? I really
don't
feel
know.
Like in some form or fashion that was handy. Like maybe that's what was on TV that night because it was Paramount. They knew they could show it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love rain. I wish it was raining here. Now, you're so tender with Reggie, but you're such a hateful bitch to 50s hairdo stutter guy. Well, that's right. We get to see her topless, too, don't we?
I think so.
You ever get the feeling that part 6 was making up for part 5?
No.
I mean, in the sense that it was so tame because this one wasn't?
Well, it's the director. He wanted more of a fun tone. And
so he was just deliberately going for
it. They didn't realize how much of a sleazemonger Steinman was. Yes, you
God
are.
God bless gratuitous nudity. One of my favorite bits of trivia, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it before, the guy that directed Part 6 was the same guy that was wearing the mutated bear costume in the movie Prophecy.
Yeah.
See, here's an example. Those are small boobs, but those are also very nice boobs. Danny Steinman definitely had a good eye for breasts.
Yes, I like 80s real boobs more than a lot of the
oh,
fake
yeah.
boobs.
I hate fake boobs.
I don't want a boob that, if it accidentally hits me in the face, it'll knock me out.
Well, see, I mean, I'm not a, I, you know, size is not that big a deal for me. I just like nice boobs.
I'm just talking about the hardness of it.
Oh, right, right, right. Well, generally,
I
there, I mean,
I'm dead.
Yeah, you should have got him in your
lay
bed.
Down.
He's still alive. Now it's just
how
creepy.
Many Friday the 13th used this kill?
Well, and they were
under the bed kill.
And of course, it was stolen from Mario Bava to begin with.
Yeah.
The whole
okay,
spear
here's
through
the only kill that was completely refilmed. You've seen near what
okay.
the original kill is in Crystal Lake Memories, right?
I don't remember. It's been a minute.
Well, you notice he stabs her in the chest here?
You're talking about, are you referring
to the original?
What about, what,
where he stabs her in the chest right here.
Right.
In the original, he stabbed her in the twat.
Oh, yeah, right, right, right. I heard about that. I've read that book. It's just been a minute, and I don't have the book anymore. She's a pretty good dancer.
I mean, what?
Now, this music is much more what you expect her to listen to.
Yeah. No way a goth girl, a new wave girl, be listening to the Alan Parsons Project.
That's not Alan Parsons, is it?
Yeah, look behind
her.
It's best of the Alan Parsons Project.
Well, apparently Alan Parsons had a new wavy side to him, because that's very new wavy. I mean, that sounds like the kind of stuff she'd listen to.
I mean,
what album's that from?
That probably would have been one of the nastiest kills in slasher history. If they would have kept that in with the...
Well, there's no way Paramount
to the
or the MPAA. No way Paramount or MPAA would have gone for that. I'm pretty sure the minute Paramount
yeah,
saw that, they were like,
said he
no.
filmed the original scene and the Dailies got to Paramount. And he said that, I think one of the female heads of Paramount called him up and was, what the fuck are you thinking, you goddamn stupid, idiotic son of a bitch?
Oh, man. Are you sure
it's
that
like
was Alan Parsons? That really was Joe Bava to begin with.
Yeah.
Because the whole
okay,
spear
here's
through
the only kill that was completely refilmed. You've seen near what
okay.
the original kill is in Crystal Lake Memories, right?
I don't remember. It's been a minute.
Well, you notice he stabs her in the chest here?
You're talking about, are you referring
to the original?
What about, what,
where he stabs her in the chest right here.
Right.
In the original, he stabbed her in the twat.
Oh, yeah, right, right, right. I heard about that. I just, like I said, I've read that book. It's just been a minute, and I don't have the book anymore. She's a pretty good dancer.
I mean, what?
Now, this music is much more what you expect her to listen to.
Yeah. No, no way a goth girl, a new wave girl, would listen to the Alan Parsons Project.
That's not Alan Parsons, is it?
Yeah, look behind
it's very
her.
New
it's the Alan, best of the Alan Parsons Project.
Well, apparently Alan Parsons had a new wavy side to him, because that's very new wavy. I mean, that sounds like the kind of stuff she's listening to. What album's that from?
That probably would have been the nastiest, one of the nastiest kills in slasher history if they would have kept that in with the...
Well, there's no way Paramount
to the
or the MPAA. No way Paramount or MPAA would have gone for that. I'm pretty sure the minute Paramount saw that, they were like,
said he filmed the original scene and the dailies got to Paramount. And he said that one of the female heads of Paramount called him up and was, "What the fuck are you thinking, you goddamn stupid, idiotic son of a bitch?"
Oh, man. Are you sure
it's
that was
like
Alan Parsons? That really does not sound like Alan Parsons at all.
Yeah. Well, I like Alan Parsons. I just know that a girl like her would not be listening to freaking Alan Parsons Project.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It didn't even sound like Alan Parsons. It sounded so new wavy. But, I mean, then again, I'm not a total expert on Alan Parsons either.
She had the poster behind her on the wall.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the music. I don't know if you're doing the poster. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe she had eclectic taste because you saw what she was listening to whenever the
man. You gotta feel sorry for him. The first time he seen Kitty, and it's on Dead Bodies.
Yeah, he's ruined for sex for the rest of his life. And here's the next potential Tommy right there. The next Jason could have been black.
Hello.
Reggie could have been so fucked up. You know, you could have told her what she was going to walk into, kid. You could have warned her. Luckily, she got enough 80s makeup on to cover her blanched face.
God bless her wearing that
raping?
Black gear shirt.
What is
you
the deal with
bitch?
Draping a sweater? Fuck doors. Who needs doors?
That has to be a badass film just to do that in a movie, damn it.
What, walk through
just
a door?
Walk in there and just boom, be able to kick through a door.
I don't need your door. Like, dude, there's a knob. You could have opened that. You know how expensive this is going to be a fix? Come on, guy. It was not necessary. And again,
little
look at
the sweater. Getting the shit knocked out of him right here. I mean, look, every little branch just whap, boom, whap.
Well, maybe this is the Evil Dead Woods. Who knows? Maybe they took a left turn in New Jersey.
And ended up in Tennessee.
Right. Either that or, you know, Tennessee's not the only state that has rape woods.
Here's a big clue as is.
Was it the other paramedic's dead?
Yeah, maybe. Reggie
has
a
better scream than
a lot
of girls.
Why didn't they dub over his screams?
Oh, he's a kid. You know, his balls haven't dropped yet. But yeah, he's got a better, scream than a lot of women in these movies. And why are they driving the Ghostbuster car? That's what I want to know. Why is that the ambulance in that area? This is 85, man. They should upgrade their ambulance a little bit.
Screw you. I'd love to be driving around in that cool-ass thing.
I didn't say it wasn't cool. It just seems a little retro for, you know, ambulance service in the mid-80s. And I like this. This one, Reggie's like, fuck the bitch, I'm gone.
Yeah. Oh,
face plant.
Fuck this shit.
No, one wonders.
See,
remember, Jason deliberately.
Hey, where are you?
Jason deliberately did not kill a girl in the sixth one because she was a child. You have to wonder if that's why Reggie was okay, really. Like, he never would have gotten killed anyway because he was a kid.
Oh, man. He got a headache, don't he?
See, not all the zooms in this were in the nature of censoring. You get the idea that Danny Simon just, like, he had a little bit of a Jess Franco and he liked zooming that lens.
Yeah, and I was going for the ones I know from the commentary and stuff that were...
Right. Well, it fit in. Well, plus the zoom for the greaser in the car, that was obviously not a lens zoom, but a zoom on the film itself, but they zoomed later in editing.
Aren't you glad that you had to wear that white shirt in the rain?
I don't find her that attractive. She didn't really do anything for me. I'm sure it was
still
Danny Steinman's idea. Well...
And they killed him for no reason. That's just mean. I always thought that this was the meanest death in the whole movie.
Why, because they killed the old man? You know, Jason,
yeah.
Jason was going to kill anybody puberty and older. I mean, that was going to happen. The only way to not get killed by
Jason
was to run fast.
Boy. Yeah.
It really, she doesn't strike me as a non-bra-wearing type either. Clearly a directorial decision. Oh, now in the mud. Tit first in the mud.
Of course. To quote Steinman, why are you ever wearing no bra? Because the director was a pervert.
Right.
Like I said, I don't think Paramount knew that they were hiring a sleaze director to make this movie.
Now, see, here's a question that I don't think they ever address. You notice how Jason here has got the bald back of the head, but then they unmask Roy later. It's just Roy.
Well, no, he's got the mask on. It shows it.
Okay, right. It's been a minute. Oh. Here comes Dennis from Christine. No, wait, never mind.
Yeah, that's why Reggie's a badass. He's going to stick a tractor up your ass. And real Jason would not have stood in front of that damn tractor.
He makes the mistake of not continuing. Why just drive over him? What is wrong with you? They're not dead. He's not dead yet. They're never dead yet. Oh, my God.
And plus, like I said, would you see real Jason stand in front of a tractor before he was a zombie? No.
Before he was a zombie, no. He's not dead yet. Should run over him. You know, in the book, Christine, it wasn't a tractor. It was a pink semi-truck named Petunia.
Yeah.
Well, we all knew that was happening, didn't we? Even if you'd never seen this before, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, really.
And that's how the fans felt about
whooping that ass.
That's how the fans felt about the blue hockey mask, Jason. You got to wonder where Roy the paramedic so easily found a bald Jason Voorhees mask. Didn't seem like the kind of item in a hot Crystal Lake area.
Why Roy, who earlier in the film looks like a skinny drink of nothing, can take a goddamn tractor to his chest and go, me strong, me kick your ass.
Clearly Roy had a stunt double. Barn scene, flashes of part three. Heavy flashes of part three. I'm having flashbacks of part three.
Acid flashbacks to part three. Plus, you
right.
can tell it's not Jason's eyes by looking at it. And it's a process of illumination. Who do we know has blue-gray eyes in this entire fucking movie?
And has been acting pissed off since he showed up. For that matter, who's not dead yet? Oh, see, she borrowed that from Mother Faith.
And here's one thing that's always killed me about her. I would not be, if I had a damn chainsaw.
You would not be what?
I would not be like her, all scared and stuff, if I had a damn chainsaw.
She clearly does not know how to use the darn thing. Good grief. Go ahead and finish things up, Jason. Take care of it. She deserved it just for being dumb. Throw it at
what
him.
What the hell, lady? Oh. That's still sharp blade.
He just got hit by a tractor. Throwing a chainsaw at somebody is not going to help. Now, why would Roy have reacted that strongly to hearing the name Tommy? He's not Jason.
No.
Oh, right, because the director said so.
Yeah, it's because we don't know it's not Jason yet.
Oh, I love that effect. Where you move the camera one direction, zoom it the opposite. That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Because Roy has no reason to know at all who Tommy Jarvis is. That shouldn't be even significant to him.
Well, no,
that's
they explain it at the end. He has like a whole collection of Jason clips and all that crap.
Roy did?
Yeah, Roy's a Jasonophile.
Okay, I had forgotten that too. It's been a minute since I saw this. And
yeah,
suddenly Jason has bad aim.
You get a big ass gash across your chest, you dumb son of a bitch. And what does he pull out?
A pocket knife. Well, I almost hit the femoral artery there. That's somewhat debilitating.
You want him to climb up there with a big gash on his chest?
Yeah. Climb up there, get cornered, Tommy. Don't run out the door and away. Climb up there, Tommy. Dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, pull the fucking knife out of your leg when you've got the femoral artery, you dumb bastard.
Good grief. And now Roy's like, I've got time. I'm not going anywhere. I got this.
Oh, through the toilet. I would not climb up after him because I would be thinking maybe they got something heavy up there they will drop on my head. Well,
yeah,
they could just kick me in the fucking
him.
Face as soon as I get up to the top.
Throw a
oh,
bale of hay at him
not
or something.
Smart, are they?
Well, no, because clearly their rescue is up there. Well, there you go, loss of blood, I guess. And Roy assumes he's dead, so there you go. Either Tommy was smart enough to play dead. This Tommy's not quite as clever as the last Tommy. Corey Feldman Tommy was a bit smarter. And then the next Tommy in part six is the well-adjusted Tommy, because suddenly he's not neurotic anymore.
Oh, that's because that Tommy survived getting killed in Kentucky.
Do what? Because that Tommy did what?
That was a joke about Tom Matthews being in Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, right.
Hi.
Tell you what, you're a black kid. You have already used like 80 or 9 lives just making it this far into this film.
I never understood that. Why do they always in these movies whack someone once and just not?
Why is there a giant bed of spikes down there? I mean, what is that dude doing there?
You know, Tommy is pretty much useless as shit in this movie.
Pretty much. All he does is provide something resembling continuity between this film and the last.
We gotta have the... Bah!
Ruh-roh.
And
my question is, what the hell was... What was Roy hanging on to on that flat side of a barn?
He got those James Bond shoes, man. You know, with the knife in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't James Bond that had those. That was the maid, the German maid, or the Russian maid, rather.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Frozen now here's Tommy. Tommy's here. Tommy actually does kill him, basically. And Tommy finally makes use of himself. Boom. Ow.
And why does the mask fall off?
Maybe on the spot. See, he didn't have a mask. He didn't have a Jason mask on. Absolute, total, blatant lack of continuity there. He didn't have a Jason. He didn't have the Jason bald head mask on. Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? Okay, you're right. They're going to account for why that happened. I never noticed that before.
No, county quite split open. Exposition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's been the case ever since the end of Psycho.
See, what you're going to explain all about Roy being a Jasonophile and all that.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but that gray hair looks like fake gray hair to me. It looks like colored in. Her makeup's not running. That's awesome.
See? The kid accidentally in the wood pile was Roy's son, who he abandoned there because he was embarrassed.
Right.
Hold on. They said, why did Roy keep that picture all those years? That's the same fucking age when he died.
Yeah, I've forgotten all about this stuff.
See? There.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
it's actually better now that hair is dealt with.
And I was walking out of that movie.
You what?
And it was like 5 minutes shorter than this, so I walked down Friday 13th, waited up in the top of the theater for my sister to get done watching this.
Huh.
And I was watching this thing right here. And then all of a sudden, at the corner of my eye, I caught running up the aisle, a little 9-year-old girl with her head down. So I had to pull some amazing Matrix type moves to jump to the left to keep this little girl from running head first into my gut.
Wow.
And the little girl did not stop until she hit the wall. She got up and just shook it off and ran around the theater, so I guess she was all right.
What was that all about, I wonder, you know? And, of course, part 4 and 5 both end with the evil Tommy thing. I wish she'd really killed her. I really kind of wish she had died. I'm okay with Reggie living, but I wish she had died. And now he gets to go play with Jesus.
But
I'm pretty sure
I read. Here's the one thing. Why would they put the hockey mask in his room?
I don't know.
I mean, I've been in a hospital room before, but never if they put a hockey mask in the desk in my room. And never would
no,
I have to look in said desk.
It's generally not psychologically appropriate to leave, highly stigmatized items tainted to a person's neurosis in their room. Well, maybe it's exposure therapy. I don't know.
Yeah. Now this part right here is actually good. I like the way they set it up.
Which once again, they're hinting that maybe Tommy will become Jason, but once again, they don't go that route.
Like I said, I don't know why they didn't pop it the way there. I mean, it was all set up.
Two different times. It was set up two times, and they didn't do it. Because the implication could be there that that Jason's gone because he's Jason now.
Yeah. like I said, why would he have Roy's mask?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be what the kids called evidence?
Yeah, you'd think. See, she looks better now that her hair is actually, that hair has been destroyed. It actually makes her a little something more resembling attractive. She's not ugly, but she's not attractive. I'm pretty sure
that
I get a better way to
see out
of the
hospital. Right there. You know, right there,
mm-hmm.
They could have cut it to black. What the
and why is there a butcher knife in his
butcher
room?
Knife?
Right.
Yeah. All I can say is I know that the motherfucking nurse is going to get fired. What am I fired for? Why the fuck was a butcher knife in his fucking room? I don't know.
I have to say, I really, really, really like Henry Manfredini's score, or Harry Manfredini's score for these movies.
Yeah. Oh, his score is one
among,
of the best parts of the movie.
Oh, agreed. I even liked his
yeah.
Disco, the 13th well, score in part 3.
Hey, the disco score is good.
It is.
But yeah, this really is one of the main parts. I mean, it's like, that's what really drove us fans of Friday 13th films, is the familiarity. You're going to have Jason. You're going to have the Henry Manfredi score. You're going to have the pretty girls getting killed and all that. You're going to have
mm-hmm.
the final person, being female or male, kill Jason at the end in a bizarre way.
Well, I mean, these are is all over the map as this franchise was. They're still, Friday the 13th movie is always a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah.
And they are,
and the
even though on
part...
one hand, yeah?
Go ahead, finish.
I was just saying, even it's all over the map. As they are. In one way, they're very inconsistent. Another way, they're a much more consistent franchise than, say, the Halloween franchise, which I found to be really inconsistent and uneven.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's have Busta Rhymes kick the shit out of Michael Myers. Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Well, that was an insulting Friday the 13th anyway, because the way they killed off Jamie Lee Curtis's character in that was horrible, and that's why I'm glad H2O came out and said, you know, no, we're not doing it. No, wait, H2O was before that. That's right. Well, in my mind, the only
yeah.
Halloween movies that are canon are part 1, 2, and H2O. In my mind, those are the ones that are canon.
Yeah.
Interesting note,
well,
H2O
new one
was directed
out
by
October
Steve.
October is ignoring it, and I like the fact that Laurie Strode is a gun-toting gun-toting psycho woman who's praying to God that Myers breaks out so she can blow his damn head off.
Yeah, and this one's supposed to pick up right where the original left off, isn't it?
Yeah, about 20 years after the, you know, long time after
right.
that.
Interesting note,
but the problem
Halloween...
is that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, interesting note... Yeah. What about it?
And that its ending is so badass. The end fight that
yeah.
it was impossible to top.
I mean, I'm not going to try. Every time. As long as it
you
made
know,
money, the next one's going to come out.
I mean, how can you top that psychic battle with, even though I don't like the film, the psychic battle with, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, at least there was an excuse them being in the films that Shelley ran over their bike.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't just the random people we're seeing for no other purpose than to get killed like you have in this one, and of course any number of other slasher
yeah,
films. If they were these
that
were body count
films.
The
biggest problem with this, and I love it, is that there may be like four or five, six people to get killed for random reasons that doesn't have anything to do with the fucking movie other than let's just put out a body count.
Right, which again shows well how the original Halloween was, even though I'm not a fan. But the original Halloween was such a taut little film because there was a reason for everybody that was there. There weren't just random people getting killed. Everyone would pertain to the story. You know, as far as
yeah.
the formula goes, that was one of the more pure expressions of it. I just don't happen to
yeah.
be big into Halloween. And that movie has not held up over the years. I find the Friday the 13th movies more entertaining and more fun in the long run than the Halloween movies. Yeah, and the Halloween series has gone off the rails badly.
Yeah. Isn't
4 and 5 were so terrible.
Halloween movies ran off the rail around 5 and still haven't gotten back on track yet.
I liked H2O. H2O was good. H2O was the closest the series came to getting back to the original as far as just not tone necessarily, but quality. And again, Steve Miner was involved, so that helped a lot. Because he's a good filmmaker. He did Part 2, which is one of the best Friday films. And he's done some other stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head, but Steve Miner has done... You look up his disc... As I recall, you look up his filmography, you'll go, oh, yeah, those were good movies. He did some good stuff. He just... He's not a known quantity like Sean Cunningham or Wes Craven.
Yeah, mostly a lot of Miner's work is for higher stuff. He did one of the better... of the Alien Under the Abyss ripoffs that came out in the early 90s, Deep Star 6.
Oh, that was Sean Cunningham. Cunningham did Deep Star 6.
What did Miner do? There was Deep Star 6, Leviathan.
Well, Miner probably did Leviathan, because Cunningham was Deep Star 6.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure was also a for-hire gig.
And, of course, my favorite, which is Deep Rising.
No, I don't think I ever saw that one. I wasn't big into the underwater horror movies. The Abyss wasn't horror. Deep Star 6 was more horror than The Abyss was. But again, it was Cunningham.
Yeah.
Cunningham was a horror filmmaker.
Well,
I just never was big into
that.
I wasn't seeing anything relevant. Go on.
But yeah, to close this up, this one really came at the last big year for slasher films. After 85, you really started to see them either wane out or be on video only.
Well, in fact, the whole horror genre took a nosedive after the mid-80s. The late 80s and a lot of the 90s just were not kind to horror. Horror did not do that well. There weren't that many great movies out. The first half of the 80s where horror really excelled, and then as much as it peaked in the first half of the 80s, it hit a real bottom in the second half of the 80s. With a few exceptions.
Yeah.
It wasn't just slashers, but I mean, slashers are kind of doomed to be short-lived anyway, because there's only so far you can go with that formula before you run out of things to do with it. And then you wait 20 years so people forget about it, and you do it again for a new generation.
And last thing before we shut down for tonight, they try to say that Scream was the first self-referential slasher movie?
They try to.
No. I mean, if you look at 5, there's a lot of self-referential material, and definitely 6.
Yeah, of course, I mean, Scream was trying to be out-and-out meta with it, too.
Yeah.
But
well, there
was
a bunch of meta ones in the
80s.
You remember Return to Horror High? That was meta as shit.
Yeah, but it was also confusing and unsatisfying.
Yeah.
It made no sense. That is one of the most confusing endings to a horror film I've ever seen. It was baffling. Absolutely baffling ending. It explained nothing. Not only did it explain nothing, it removed any resemblance to... It removed any resemblance to an explanation. It not only got rid of an explanation, it made it confounding. It's the ending of that film didn't... I never got it. I think there was something I was supposed to get, but I never got it. It was a failed attempt at being meta. It wasn't a bad movie, but it was a failed attempt at being meta. The most interesting thing about that movie is the fact that George Clooney was in it.
Yeah. And with that, we're saying good night, everybody, and thank you for watching, and thank you for being part of this again, Christoph.
Good night. You bet.
Good
have
night.
Fun.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. obscenity is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Blue Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Nine.